We reiterate what our sister has been singing. Don't go away without Jesus. He is the mighty Saviour, the only one who can save and wash away your sin. We're very glad to have the Reverend Greenfield. He doesn't need any introduction here. And we're very glad to have him and his wife with us tonight. We're going to ask Mr. Greenfield to come and preach God's precious word.
Thank you, Reverend Gordon Dean, very much for those words of welcome. Certainly a great joy and a pleasure for me to be with you tonight at the opening night of your gospel mission. Can I say we're very thankful to be here this evening, and we congratulate the Reverend Gordon Dean and the church here in Crossgar. We really enjoyed the service as we heard it over the airwaves today. I really enjoyed the words of testimony and the ministry and song and the word of God as it has gone forth. You know, the Bible says the devil's a prince and power of the air. So it's good to take the airwaves and get the gospel going through the airwaves that men and women might hear. And not only they might hear, but they might hear and they might live by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. We do pray that the Lord will bless his word. He has promised it shall not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that whereunto he has sent it. So it's good to be with you here tonight in Crossgar. As Mr. Dean says, I don't need any introduction in Crossgar, and you don't need any introduction to me, or vice versa. It's good to see you all and have fellowship again with you. You know, there's a wee woman, she came to the minister one day, she says, will you bury my father? He says, my father has died. He says, I will, dear. Surely I will. And they arranged the service. And then before the girl went away, he says, now tell me, dear, he says, did your father have any last words? Well, she says, not at all. She says, sure, my mother was with him right to the end. And there you are. I heard about a wee woman, you know, and she met, I don't know if it was a Reverend Dean or not, or one of the other ministers, but she met him one day. She says, you're awful like somebody. You're very like somebody I know. You're very like somebody. He says, who do you think I'm like? She says, you're like my third husband. She says, right, how many times were you married? She says, twice. So there you are. Well, it's lovely to be with you. We trust the Lord will bless our fellowship around his word. We're going to turn, please, to the gospel according to Matthew. And we're going to read some verses from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 19. And we thank our sister again for those messages and song. And we join with our brother, the Reverend Dean, and say, don't go away without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. That's what it's all about. That men and women and boys and girls and young people may come to know him, come to know his life. Eternal. In Matthew chapter 19, we're going to read from verse 13. And the word of God says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? They said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 26. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow together and we word of prayer and ask the help of the Lord upon the preaching of his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, for thy good hand upon us throughout this day already. And again, Lord, we thank thee for the word of God that went forth this morning from this church over the radio waves. We pray, Lord, that you will bless your word as it has gone forth and bring sinners to Christ and restore the backsliders. And, O God, bless your people. And now, Lord, we look to thee. We realize without thee we can do nothing. And except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain that build it. We ask thee now, Lord, that you will shut us in with thyself and pour out thy Spirit upon us. Cleanse us, Lord, in the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And may we be channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts tonight, we pray. Bring men and women and boys and girls to Christ and answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. So reading this passage of Scripture and God's word by this wonderful incident where a young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ asking the question, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? I could not help but think about what a difference a day can make. The Bible tells us that one day Moses was out keeping the flock. He was a shepherd. And what the Bible describes as the backside of the desert. But he saw a bush that was burning, but it was not consumed. And turning aside to see that bush, having an encounter with God, he started out that day as a shepherd. And he ended up being called as the prophet of God and becoming a deliverer who would deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. David was a shepherd. He minded what his brothers called those few sheep out in the wilderness. But one day as he made his way to the valley of Elah to take some food for his brethren, he faced Goliath of Gath and he became a hero. And the women in Israel sang that Saul hath slain his thousands, but David hath slain his tens of thousands. Started out as the shepherd, but that day he made a name for himself as a servant of God and as a man who cared and who was interested in the glory of God. And then eventually one day David sat upon the throne of Israel. One day Saul of Tarsus went to the high priest. He received letters to go to the city of Damascus to round up the believers in Christ and to bring them bound to Jerusalem. And you know the story on the last day of his journey. About midday there was a light that shone round about him brighter than the noonday sun. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
that blasphemer, that persecutor, that man who was injurious to the church of Christ, he cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And by the grace of God, he became a great minister of the gospel, a great pioneer and missionary for the gospel, for the cause of Christ. And under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, gave us much of our New Testament scriptures. What a difference a day can make in the life of any man or woman or young person. But here's a young man. And when we read about him, we read about a young man, a sincere man, a rich man, a powerful man, a ruler, a religious man, a ruler in the synagogue. And he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he left that day, still unsaved, still on his way to a lost eternity, not finding eternal life, the thing that he had come in search of. And isn't it true that in many a church tonight across this little province of ours, yeah, in many a church right across this old world in which we live, there'll be men and women and young people and boys and girls who will hear the simple message of the gospel of Christ and who through the preaching of the Word of God will come like that young man so long ago, face to face with Christ. And yet they will leave without giving to Christ their heart and life. That's a tragedy. I remember as a young student minister attending a gospel mission, one of our senior ministers was preaching at the time. It was a great meeting. The place was packed. There was a great spirit in the meeting, and the hymn singing was good, and the testimony was good, and the preaching was good. After the meeting was over, someone said to him, wouldn't you wonder how men and women could leave a meeting like that without coming to Christ and without being saved? I always remember his reply. He said, yes, you do wonder why men and women go away after such a good meeting when the gospel is preached. But he says, remember, we did the exact same thing. We walked out of meetings without Christ. We heard the gospel. We left still unsaved, still in our sins. Because the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in. But it's our prayer that tonight, in these closing moments of our meeting, that the Lord will open blinded eyes, and stop the deaf ear, and loose the tongue of the dumb, that they might confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want to think with you tonight about this young man who came to the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice, first of all, when we read about him, the convictions in his longing. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 16, and he said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This was a young man. A religious young man, sincere young man, a good young man. But he had come to a point in his life when he realized, and he had this conviction in his heart, I do not possess eternal life. The Bible speaks about King Solomon. Solomon, who had wealth and fame and power and everything the heart could desire. Solomon said one day in Ecclesiastes 1 and 14, he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And sometimes men and women try the things of this world, and they're longing for satisfaction, they're craving for satisfaction, but when they've tried them all, they realize all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And sometimes they say that they cry out like Job when he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. People talk today about self-realization. But here's a young man who I believe had come to the place of God-realization. And he realized that there is a God with whom I have to do. He realizes I have an immortal soul. That this body is not the beginning and the end of it all. I have an immortal soul that will live on for all eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asks him, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He realized that by nature, he did not possess eternal life. Oh, he would live on for eternity. But it could be an existence in a Christless eternity, in a lost eternity, without God or without hope. He realized he had a soul, but he hadn't eternal life. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. So here's a young man with conviction in his longing. And maybe there's someone in our meeting tonight, young or old, and you realize that's why you're in church. That's why you're here on this Sunday evening at the commencement of this gospel mission, because you know that the grave is not the end. You know that there is an eternity. You have heard the word of God preached in the gospel many, many times. And you know tonight of a truth there is a heaven to be won and there is a hell to shun. You have that conviction. You're longing. Perhaps like Job, you say, oh, that I knew where I might find him. But you notice then not only the conviction of his longing, but the cry on his lips. He comes to Christ and he says, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Over in the Gospel of Mark, it's put like this, it's beautiful, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, and when he was gone forth into the way, that is the Lord Jesus, there came one running and kneeled to him, and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This is the cry on this young man's lips. And you'll notice tonight, dear friend, that he came to the right person. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many, a man or woman in Ulster, and they're going to the wrong person. There's many men and women all over the world, and they're going to false teachers and false prophets. They're going to gurus of this, that, or the other thing. They're trying all sorts of new philosophy, new ideas, meditation. But here's a young man, and thank God he came to the right person. And he came the right way. He came to Christ, kneeled before him. Took the humble place. And the Bible says he had the right question on his lips. In many ways he was searching for eternal life. And the Bible says he came running, he came in haste. Dear friend, that's the way it is in the gospel. Thank God tonight you're in the right place. You're in the house of God. You're in an old-fashioned gospel meeting where the Bible is believed, where the Bible is preached, where the gospel is proclaimed. And you're in the right place, and thank God we can introduce you to the right person. Not the preacher, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, dear friend, that the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't you put it off until another night, even in the mission. It may be too late. This young man came running and kneeling before the Lord Jesus and asking Him this question. He called Him good master. I thought about that. I thought how the world wants to portray the Lord Jesus Christ just as a good master. They want Him to be a good example. They maybe will say, well, He was a good man. And He became a martyr for a good cause. And His code by which He lived and His ethical standards, why, they're wonderful. And just let Him be a good master. But you'll notice that the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to this young man. And this young man doesn't realize that he's standing before the Son of God. God the Son. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus said to Jesus, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And as the old Bible preacher said, he got it mixed up. The Lord Jesus was not just a teacher come from God. He was God come to teach. He is God manifest in the flesh. And no man or woman can be saved unless they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the world talks about a new social order. And we need leaders. And we need a social gospel. But the world shuns its back and turns its back on the thought of the one who came into the world. And he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And he took upon him a bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And he took upon himself a body in the likeness of our flesh. He was virgin born and he lived a sinless, spotless life. But then he died on the cross. And he shed his precious blood. And when he died on the cross, he died as a substitute for sin. And that he took our sins in his own body on the tree. And they poke fun at the message of the gospel. And they sometimes deride it and say it's the slaughterhouse gospel. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. They want to keep the Lord Jesus Christ, the little baby in Bethlehem. They want to view him just as a teacher, a good man. But they don't want to recognize him as the sovereign and the Savior and the Son of the living God. They want to put him on par with Buddha or Muhammad or other prophets. But they don't realize that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that all things that are created were created by Him. And by Him all things consist or hold together. That He is the preeminent one. So here's a young man with conviction in his longings. With a cry on his lips. You'll notice a commitment that was lacking. As he questions the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus, he says to him, well, keep the commandments. And he says, which commandments shall I keep? In verse 18, Jesus mentions six commandments. They're the commandments that have to do with our relationship to our fellow men. And as the Lord Jesus went over those commandments in verse 20, the young man, the other gospel says, willing to justify himself, he says, all these things have I kept from my youth up. He was sincere. He was a good young man. The Lord Jesus Christ did not contradict him. He could have contradicted him. And the last commandment that is spoken of there, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's an old fellow preached in the United States of America, and he said this. He said, when did you ever hear of a man coming home from work, and he gets near to the street, to the locality where he lives, he realizes that the fire engines are there, and the ambulance are there, and the rescue crew are there, and he comes into that street, and then he says, oh, am I so glad that it's not my neighbor's house, but it's my house is on fire. No, it doesn't extend to loving your neighbor just as yourself. My God. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked at this young man. And he said to him, there in verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, he says, go and sell that thou hast. And then the end of the verse, he says, come and follow me. See, Jesus says there's one thing that you're lacking. And the Lord knew that what this young man had, and in reality, if the Lord had quoted those other commandments to him, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or you'll not bow down before it. This young man, his possessions, his great possessions, they stole his heart. You know, sometimes men and women in this world have great possessions. And it's all right as long as they are the possessor of those possessions. But sometimes there are people and they have great possessions, but the possessions possess them. And that's all they can think about. And that's all that motivates their life and their thinking and their living. And Jesus looked at that young man, and Jesus knew exactly what he loved best of all. And Jesus says, go, sell that thou hast, give it to the poor, come, follow me. And you say to me tonight, well, friend, I don't have great possessions. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ may say to you, go, sell. Maybe there's a sin in your life. Maybe there's a habit. Maybe there's something in your life that you love and you're not willing to let it go in order that you might come to Christ. Maybe there's something in this world, and it captivates you and it holds you and you are in bondage to it. Maybe the drink, maybe drugs, could be immorality, it could be religion. But the Lord Jesus says, go, sell. In other words, get rid of it. Repent of it. Turn away from it. Leave it. Forsake it. And as you do so, come and follow me. The Lord Jesus said, any man will come after me. Let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. And here's this young man, he had convictions in his longing, he wanted to have eternal life. There was a cry on his lips as he came to the Lord Jesus, but sadly there was a commitment that was lacking. And he wouldn't take that step, he wouldn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ, he wouldn't do as the Lord told him to do. You notice the consequences of his leaving. The Bible says there in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, dear friend, the possessions were his God. The possessions were his all in all. And he went away sorrowing. We mentioned Moses at the beginning of our meeting, and you remember that the Bible tells us in the Epistle to the Hebrews that Moses, who was put in that little ark of bulrushes, and then he was called Moses, he was drawn out of the water by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he lived in the palace, and For the first 40 years in his life, someone said he was learning to become something. But there was a day in the life of Moses, because of the faithful teaching of his mother as she was employed as his nurse, there was a day when the apostle writes in Hebrews 11 that Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made the right choice, and it was a choice by faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Men and women tonight, the pleasures of this world are only for a season. Sometimes people say there's no pleasure in the world. There's plenty of pleasure in the world, but it's only seasonal. It only lasts for a season. But the Bible says at God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Abundant life, eternal life. And this young man came to Jesus, and he had the wrong idea about salvation, for he's asking the Lord Jesus, what good thing can I do? And he's the wrong idea about the Savior, because he calls him good master. He doesn't realize that he's very God of very God. He's God manifest in the flesh. And he's the wrong idea about sin, because he says here, all these have I kept from my youth. So when you meet people sometimes and you're talking to them about the things of God, they tell you, oh, the drunkard's a sinner. The harlot's a sinner. The immoral man's a sinner. The murderer's a sinner. The thief's a sinner. But I'm not a sinner. And you realize that they have missed it in two counts. They have no real idea of what sin is. And they have no real concept of the holiness of our God. The Bible says, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And this young fellow had the wrong idea about success. Thought about his possessions. Can I bring our meeting to a close just by turning you again to Mark's Gospel and just leaving you with one final thought? Sadly, the young man went away. And it's a tragedy to go away from Christ. But in Mark's Gospel and chapter 10 and verse 21, says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. See, the Bible tells us in 1 John that God is love. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were without God and without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And the Lord Jesus looked at this young man, a sincere young man, a good young man, a rich young man, a religious young man. And the Lord looked at him and he beheld him and he loved him. But the young fellow went away. You know, the apostle writes about people who do that in the epistle to the Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, far much sorer punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. In other words, if a man or woman, a young person, hears the gospel of Christ, and the Lord loved them, and he loved them so much that he gave himself for them on the old rugged cross of Calvary, and yet they walk away. They trample underfoot the precious shed blood, the everlasting covenant. I read an illustration during the week. It said that high on a hilltop overlooking that beautiful city of Venice, in Italy, there lived an old blind man. It was said that this old man was a genius, and legend had it that he could answer any question anyone would ask of him. The story goes that two local boys figured they could fool the old man. So they caught a small bird and they headed up for his residence. When they came before the old blind man, one of the little boys says to him, "Now, can you tell me, is the little bird dead or alive?" And without a moment's hesitation, the old man said, "Son, if I say to you that the bird is alive, you will close your hands and crush it to death. If I say to you that the bird is dead, you will open your hands and the bird will fly away." He says, "You see, son, in your hands you hold the power of life and death." And that's the way it is in the gospel. Men and women hear the gospel, the good word of God. They hear the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then, friend, as we would say, it's over to you. You must come. Jesus says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he will be." You must open that door. Jesus is standing at your heart's door. Standing and knocking. He's knocked before. And this is the question you face once more. What will you do with Jesus? Friend, I ask you, what will you do with Jesus? For neutral you cannot be. And someday your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? How is it tonight with your soul? Are you still searching like this young man? Do you want eternal life? Then, friend, you must come. Come in repentance toward God. And in faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, turning your back upon the sin and the pleasures of this world, and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, for as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. I trust if you're not a Christian, you've heard God's word once again tonight, that you'll come, and you'll seek the Lord while he may be found. You'll call upon him while he is near. You'll not go away. Don't be like the young man in the passage of Scripture we read of tonight. He went away sorrowing. Friend, everyone who goes away without Christ in their heart and life, it's sorrow and it's trouble and it's a lost eternity. Inconceivable sorrow. For the apostle said, "What shall the end be? Of them that obey not the gospel." May God help you to come and receive his Son as your Savior. Reverend Dean.